on my last service this weekend, but I will never forget this experience with this church and Pastor Lincoln, his wife and family, and all of the saints of God. I appreciate the hospitality and the kindness and the encouragement as we go through this time together. You can go ahead and be opening your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We'll jump into Luke. We'll go into chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38. For the next few moments, we'll share this passage of scripture the Lord laid on my heart. And I echo what the singers and musicians, there's nothing like the presence of God. Amen. And amen. Praise somebody. Give God praise. It's nothing. Wherever you are and whatever you're going through and whatever you have struggled with, there's nothing like getting into the presence of God and being fulfilled and being strengthened by the presence of the Lord. Verse 38, Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words." This is the best place you can be, at the feet of Jesus. There's nothing like it. Nothing can replace it, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. I'll read the rest of the text. It says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" And I want to talk for just a few moments, sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this time and fellowship that we are together. Lord, we thank you for the services and the leadership of this church. And Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach the gospel. I ask that you will help us and that you will anoint us to minister, to preach, and to teach. Anoint us to say what you give us to say, that people will be strengthened and blessed. And Lord, we thank you for it, and we give you glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. This particular text is, you know, so loaded and weighted with truth that I feel is, you know, it's vital to all of us as believers when we think about the posture of the believer. Now, a lot of times we think about posture, we think about something physical. A lot of people think, you know, when you pray, you have to kneel down to pray, or you have to be in a certain posture. The most important posture is your heart. The position of your heart before the Lord, the position of my heart before the Lord. You know, there are people who can kneel and pray and still not receive anything. You can stand and pray, walk and pray, or whatever the case, and still not receive anything. But the posture of Mary's heart was to be with Jesus. She didn't want anything to take the place of that. And that's what I want to talk about this morning for just a few moments, because there are times in our lives, I know it has happened to me personally, as I shared a lot of or part of my testimony before I got saved. There's testimony since I've been saved of, you know, getting caught up in the responsibility of ministry, getting caught up in the act of preaching, and you know, you got to prepare to preach, and I got to get a sermon ready. And sometimes we get so caught up in doing ministry until we forget relationship. And that's a dangerous place, because you can still function and you can still be used, but there has to be a proper relationship with God to be effective. Because I don't want, as Paul said, to preach the gospel to others and myself be a castaway. I don't want to tell you to love Jesus and live for Jesus and follow Jesus, keep your faith anchored in Christ and his finished work, and myself not follow that. Because away from this, away from standing here and standing before you and these cameras and all of the people of God, away from all of this is that time that cannot be replaced. Nothing can ever take the place of your personal relationship with the Lord. Nothing can or should ever take precedence over your relationship with God. You can love your spouse, but you should not and you should never love them more than you love God. You can love your children, but you cannot, you should not love them more than you love the Lord. Jesus even said to do these things. He said, if you don't love me more than mother or father or even your children, you're not worthy of me. He's not telling us to hate our family. He's telling us to love him more than we love our family. Because I would contend that one cannot properly love his family or his wife or children if he doesn't properly live and love the Lord. It's impossible to do. Something is off. Something is missing. There's that key and vital element that is missing from your life when your relationship with God is off. And if you're honest, you will feel off at work. You'll feel off when you're with your friends and your family. Something is just missing. Something is off, and it is because there's a misalignment somewhere, or something has gone wrong, or we've gotten distracted by the cares of life and responsibilities. And we all have responsibilities. We all have things we have to do. We have, you know, if you're called to minister as a preacher or a pastor, you have to prepare and preach. But one of the things that God began to deal with me about is, you know, he said, you're preparing for sermons, but you're not preparing for life. You're preaching, you're studying and doing all of these things, and we can get so caught up. Sunday is tomorrow, Sunday, whatever the case, next Wednesday night, and I'm studying to do a series and studying to get ready to preach, but I'm not allowing the word to change me. Not allowing the word to take root in my own life. And so what happens is we get up before the people and we tell them what thus said the Lord, but we ourselves haven't received it. We preach about a God that we haven't surrendered to. We sing about a God that we haven't fully surrendered to. And that is a danger that exists in the body of Christ. So much is happening and in the body of Christ, and we pray, brothers and sisters who are overtaken in faults, going through failure. Oftentimes, we neglect our own relationship. One, and I won't call the name, one popular musical artist who's dead now, died at a very, very young age, 40 years old or so, had gotten so caught up with performing. He forgot to take care of his own health. And in his sleep, he died. He was taking pills to go to sleep, taking pills to get up. And it was all about the performance. I've got to be before the people. But he forgot, after the lights go off, you still got to survive. After the shut the cameras down and there's no PA system or microphones, there's no pulpit, there's no congregation, we still have to survive. After you witness to another soul, you have to survive. Can you imagine cooking for other people? I don't know if you all are, you know, like that. Some people in here, some of y'all may have some good cooks, and you spend all that time cooking all of that food, and by the time you finish, you don't want to eat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can't be that way when you're saved. Or when there's a calling on your life. God can use you mightily in the public eye, but privately, you're miserable. I've been through that in myself in preaching and people getting saved and people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, but my personal life was in shambles. My personal walk with God was in shambles, and all because I got caught up in working like Martha in our text. And I was so focused on working till I forgot the aspect of my life like Mary, just to sit down and soak up the presence of God. Think about that for just a moment. You don't have to know the Greek and Hebrew to just sit down and soak up the presence of God. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a plaque on your wall or to be some doctor in theology, but just sit down and enjoy sitting at the feet of Jesus. Everybody else is working and you're sitting there. And Martha got angry and she said, I'm doing all of this work. And my sister's just sitting there. And Jesus said this. He said, Mary has chosen the good part. Somebody say the good part. Oh, you got to get that. The good part is not you preaching a sermon. The good part is not you running a camera and singing a song or playing the music. The good part is when you sit at the feet of Jesus. The good part is not you out witnessing the souls. The good part is you being alone with God. That's the part that nobody sees. That's the part that we don't get pat on the back for. That's the part that is so vital and so necessary for the work of God. And we lose sight of that at times. And if we're honest, all of us may in some way, may, bigger or small, some of us have fallen into that. We go through the motions. And it becomes, I got to get down to the church. I got to go do this and I got to go do that. And I got to go get this done. And I got to go get that done. And then our personal life is kind of in ruins. Do you know that your Heavenly Father, yes, He wants you to work for Him. Yes, He wants you to, you know, if you got a responsibility in the local church, do all of those things. They're vital, they're important, but He cares about you. He cares about your person. He cares about your spouse. He cares about your children. He cares about your career. He cares about your relationship. He cares about your job. He cares about everything. He's not just wanting you to work for Him, but He wants us to live for Him. And I've talked to many preachers and seen many preachers and pastors who get burnt out and they throw in the towel and quit and say, I just can't do it anymore. And the reason that happens, and anybody can get tired, anybody can get burnt out, but the reason it happens is because we lose sight of what's more vital. We lose sight of the reality of this text of sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's comfort when you sit at the feet of Jesus. See, what I love about that is the Bible says that we can cast all of our care upon Him, for He cares for us. That's the time where you can get ugly, you can really be honest when, because He knows everything anyway. We got to stop praying these deep, eloquent prayers, saints. And start being honest with how we really feel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're hurting, you don't have time to, oh dear, precious and heavenly and gracious Father, I come to you intellectually as I know how, and I am just enamored with your presence. Sometimes all you got is a tear. Sometimes all you got is silence, but God can hear your heart praying. Sometimes all you got is a help me. Sometimes you don't even have words. You just got a groan in the spirit, but the Bible says He can interpret your groans. What may sound like, oh, to everybody else, to God, it's a sweet smelling savor. Somebody ought to give God praise because He hears me when I cry. He hears you. And I'll tell you this, that's one of the most powerful prayers you can pray, is when you groan in the spirit sometimes. That's one of the most powerful times in your walk with God, when you ever got so, I don't know about y'all, but you just got to the point where you couldn't see because you were crying so much and you were just disfigured and your face looked all ugly. You don't want the camera in your face. Come on, anybody. No, you don't have time to take. When I see people at prayer meetings taking selfies saying, "We in here," I know the presence of God is not there, because when the presence of God is there, you put the phone up. You don't care who sees you. I'm just going to lay here and be like Jacob. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I want to stay right here. I'm not moving. I know life is going fast. I know bills are due, and I know everything is happening, but I'm going to sit right here, and I'm going to hinge on every word he speaks. I'm going to listen to him. I want to be with him. Just be with him. Just to take that time and have those moments of just sitting with him. And this is what happens at times. Bible says Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. The first time I read that, it shook me. And she heard his word. But Martha was caught up in serving, and there was nothing wrong with what she was doing. But she forgot that this was the most important posture. It wasn't what she was doing. And a lot of times when we got something going on, we feel like what I got going on is the most important thing happening. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It gets caught up in the work, and you get caught up in the labor, and you get caught up in the activity. I was talking about me. I always say I can talk about me better than I can talk about anybody else. Preaching, and, you know, it's different when you're an associate and or you are, you know, a youth pastor or something, which I've served in those capacities. But when you're a lead pastor now, you are preparing for every Sunday and every Wednesday, and you're laboring and you're preaching. And if I'm not home, I'm somewhere in a pulpit on a Sunday. Some weekend, I'm somewhere preaching the gospel. And it had gotten so routine, because you can get used to anything. And let me say this, because this is dangerous too. When you have a gift, you can know how to do something. And when you know how to do it, when the cameras come on, you know how to perform it. You know, growing up, we know how to do the show. We know how to put everything together. And before you know it, you'll operate, but you'll be operating in self-dependence. And the reality is, I'm depending on my gift. I'm depending on my ability to study the word. I'm depending on my ability to prepare a sermon. And I forget that one thing, the good part, that good part. And that is my alone time. My alone time is none of your business. Come on, somebody. See, that's what we got to get to. This is my time. This is my time where I don't have interruptions. I don't want nobody calling me. I don't want nobody looking at me. I just want to be with me and my Father. And I want to sit at his feet. I want to hear what you have to say. Because here's what happens. People were patting me on the back saying, "Good sermon." But in my alone time, God was saying, "You need to repent. Your attitude is messed up. You're getting cocky. You're getting full of pride." See, that's why you need to be alone, because God's going to tell you the truth. He's a good father. He's not like us. You know, your kid paint that painting at school and color that thing, and you say, "Oh, baby, it's pretty." And you know in your heart is ugly. Oh, y'all not going to be honest in here. "Oh, baby, it looks so good." But the truth is, it really doesn't. God doesn't do that. God said, "No, that's ugly. You can do better." He's a good father. He'll tell you what's off in your life. He'll tell you what you need to do. He'll tell you your attitude needs to be changed, because he knows what's coming. That's why the private time is so vital. People are saying, "Good sermon." And God, and even more recently, I've sensed such a weight
to get before God like never before. And, you know, when God is using and moving upon you like that, he's preparing you for something. And he doesn't give us all the details. You know, these prophets now, I need to know who they talking to, man. They can tell you your birthday and your address and everything. You know, God, the God of the Bible now, he'll give you a word, but he won't give you all the details. He'll tell you like he told Abram. He said, just go and go to a land that I'm going to show you. He didn't give him all the details. He just began to, you know, move and lead him. He told the children of Israel, when you see the cloud move, that's when you move. When you see the fire, that's when you move. If you don't see it moving, don't go nowhere. Just stay right there. And then it becomes a walk of faith. It's not this haughty walk of, I know what I'm doing. I got this. No, it's a walk of faith. I don't know what I'm doing without you. I don't know how to preach without you. I don't know how to run the service without you. I need you to do everything, Lord, so that you can get the glory. Ministry became work. It became my job and not the calling. And you get consumed. And it starts to be, what can I do? How can I get this done? How can I get that done? And people don't know that private life. People don't know the story behind where you're coming from and the walk with God and the struggles and the pain. All of us in this room have gone through pain. Some pain you can't even share openly. Some pain is too hard to talk about. Well, you know where you can go? You can go into the presence of God and stop being deep and just go ahead and tell God everything. Lord, I can't stand them right now. I don't like when she walk in the room. See, y'all, I may preach over here because y'all not going to be. Anybody ever had? Are y'all going to be real in here? She get on my nerve. I don't like her. I don't like him. And it's in those private moments where God can begin to show you the error of your own way. And you can't, nobody can walk out of the presence of God the same. And when you know when somebody's been with God, because their attitude starts changing, their character starts changing, how they present the gospel starts changing, and you will walk out and say, oh yeah, she's been in the presence of God. There's something different about her because she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. People will see your pain and say, how did you endure that? How did you come out of that? Because she's been sitting at the feet of Jesus. You went through a scandal. You went through a horrible relationship, a breakup. You went through something heinous and horrible. Went through a foreclosure or some sort of problem in your finances. And people are saying, how in the world are you still breathing? I've been sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it changes the way you look at trial. It changes the way you look at pain. It doesn't mean that you're not hurting. We're not here to lie. It doesn't mean that you don't feel the pain. It just means that while I'm hurting, I have a comforter who knows how to comfort me. He knows how to talk to me. He knows what I need. The Bible says he knows the way that I take. He knows everything about me. That's what I love about God. Because I learned this the hard way. If you live by the applause of the people, you'll die by their criticism. You thrive because everybody's telling you how good you did and how great you are, and everybody's just lifting you up. And when those people begin to criticize you, you fall apart because you can't handle it. I'll tell you what, if you let God be critical, man, old saints would say, ooh, wee. God, man, when I tell you humility, God will strip you down and talk to you, and you know you had a good talking to when you've been in the presence of God. because he's not going to leave one stone unturned. He's going to cross every T. He's going to dot every I. He's going to begin to show you some things in your life, but it's for your good. And I'll tell you this, sit there until he gets through. She was sitting there listening. And Martha said, I need her to help me serve these tables. And there's no fight like a food fight. If you ever been to a funeral or repast, you know it can get kind of weird. Or church fellowship. Not this church now. I've seen some of the ugliest fights of my life from tongue-talking Christians at church fellowships. I'm serving the pastor plate. That's my childhood. And we get so caught up in all of those things. But the humility of a child of God, well, I don't care where I serve. I just want, Lord, strip me down of all of this that I've held to. And that's what God had to do when I got so bitter. They won't let me preach and this and that. And I got so bitter. God began to speak to me. He said, what were you doing before you were preaching? I was on the altar one day and I was praying and praying mad. I'm glad God don't turn us away when we mad. Come on, y'all. God sees your heart, not your bad attitude. And you can bring all that stuff to God and he'll still sit there and deal with you. You don't believe it? Read the Bible. Job wasn't happy with God. He said, why didn't you just kill me when I was a little kid? You let me get to adulthood and let me go through all of this. And he told his friends, when I see God, I'm going to check him. You know you got to be mad when you say, I'm going to tell God how I feel. He said, if I see him, it's on. I'm telling him everything that's on my mind. You get to the latter part of the book of Job, God shows up. And God tells Job, get up. I'm here now. Now, what was all that you were going to say? And here Job is, he forgot everything that he told his friends. And all he could say was, I'm vile. I don't have anything. And God said, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations? I love when God gets to talking noise. He said, where were you when I spoke and said, let there be light, and light came? You were not even in existence. I'm God, and I know what I'm doing. I laid the foundation, and I know how to take care of you. That's the God that we serve. When he talks, you gotta listen. Because you got to remember the same Jesus that we're talking about, they had argued with him in John chapter 8, and they said, you don't know Abraham. You're not even 50 years old. He said, let me tell y'all something. Before Abraham was, I am. Man, who else can make a statement like that? And then in John chapter 10, they were mad at him and said, we're going to kill him. We're going to stone him. And he looked at him and said, y'all can't kill me. He said, no man takes my life. He said, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay my life down for my sheep. And I got the power to lay it down. So I got the power in 3 days to pick it up again. So when a man like that talks, you listen. And that's where we are. And we complain and we gripe and man, God, like with Job and like with others, he shows us where we are. He shows us exactly what we need. He's authentic. He's real. His ways are real. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. We can't measure him. We can't trap him in a little room and corner him in our little boxes of religion. We can't do it. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need my help to be God. And out of all that bitterness, God said, where were you? What were you doing? Broke me down.
And I came to realization I was just going to church. I was just praying and seeking God, just being a follower of Jesus Christ. And sometimes God has to remind us and take us back to the beginning. Take us back to the basics. And help us to remember. You remember when you got saved, you used to be the first one at church. Everybody knew you were a new Christian because you was walking around with that big family Bible. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You would take your Bible everywhere. You didn't care who talked about you. You didn't care who looked at you funny. You just wanted to be in the presence of God. You just wanted to be at the feet of Jesus. And somewhere along the line, we get caught up in the activity and we get caught up in, and that's growth is good and all of those things. And we get caught up in all of that. And sometimes God wants to bring us back to just the basics of discipleship. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and just follow me. But I got to preach, just follow me. But I got to sing and I got to prepare, just follow me and just sit at the feet of Jesus. If I could leave and challenge you in any way this morning, everything you do is, I'm sure, important. Everything you do as a husband, a wife, a child, or for the kingdom, for the ministry, for the local assembly, the preaching, the singing, the preparation. Some of you work behind the scenes, and people don't even know what you do and see what you do. But don't let anything take precedence over your relationship with God. People get married, and they focus so much on the wedding day, they forget about relationship. You know, relationships are so commercialized now. You look on social media, everything's about money and who got the biggest ring. Susie posted her ring last Friday. Now Becky got to post her new one this Friday because she's not about to outdo me. And the true relationship is what you and that person have privately. It's not about the glitz and the glamour and showing everybody everything. It's about the relationship you have with God. I'm closing. You can go ahead and stand. I was reading a story the other day, and I'll paraphrase it, about a young man who was a preacher, started out on fire for God, loved God. God was using him mightily. He had a moral issue in his life, and he began to drift away from God. And as he drifted away from God, he got into a relationship he shouldn't have been, that was outside of his wife, left his wife, got with this new woman, married the woman, and it just was falling apart. But on social media, they were posting all of their cars. They were posting all of the money that they had. But what people didn't know was that at home, it was a toxic environment. It was a poisonous relationship. Young man went on and they kept the relationship going and he ended up, they fell out, broke up. And I'm telling you this for a reason. And he came by the house one day to pick up his stuff and they got into a huge argument. She pulled a gun on him and shot him, killed him, and put the gun on herself and killed herself. Broke my heart watching that story. But I realized something. They got so caught up in all of the external things, they forgot about the good thing, the main thing, and that was relationship with God. It's dangerous when we forget and neglect our relationship with God. Don't exchange sitting at the feet of Jesus for money and glitz and glamour. If they never know your name, be grateful that he knows your name. If they never call you, that's okay. Be grateful that he called you. If they never put you on their guest list, it's okay. Be grateful that your name is written in a guest list that matters, and that's the Lamb's Book of Life.
That's what matters at the end of the day. If I never preach another sermon in my life, I'm grateful to know that I'm in the family of God and that no devil in hell can take that from me. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we love you today and we thank you for your word. Father, I just pray that something that has been said has resonated with the hearts of maybe one or two individuals in this room or someone who may be watching. Father, I pray that you would just deal with our hearts in the area of relationship. Draw us closer to you, Lord. Help us not to neglect our relationship with you. Help us not to drift away in our responsibility, the good thing, the main thing of just sitting at your feet. Help us all in this place. Help me. Help us all in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to pray for just a moment, I want to give you that opportunity. I don't know if the Lord is dealing with your heart, if there's anything in your life, if maybe you just feel a tug in your spirit. Maybe you become like Martha. Maybe you are still working for God, but you've drifted away maybe in your personal relationship of sitting at the feet of Jesus. If that's you and you don't have to feel any shame, we've all come by way of the cross. I just want us to take a moment to pray. If you just want to pray for your neighbor or reach over to somebody next to you, would you pray and agree with me in prayer for just a moment? I don't want to leave this place and just be remiss without giving you the opportunity to just encourage somebody and pray. If you want to come to the front, that's fine. If you want to come around the front, you can do that as well. But for just the next 30 seconds or so, I want you to pray and begin to pray for your neighbor. Reach over to the person next to you, because we don't know what everybody's going through. Some people are dressed up and came in here. You look sharp and everything looks good externally, but maybe internally you're hurting and you're battling. And you're battling and you haven't told anybody, but you're fighting with every fabric in you to survive. Well, I want you to know this morning that God cares about you. He cares about you. And if you want to come and pray, this altar is open for just a few moments for you to pray. Would you come this morning? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to intercede, saints of God. I know the Lord is in this place. He is here right now to touch you. He is here to heal, to encourage. And while you're sitting right there at the feet of Jesus, don't move till you healed. Don't move until you know God is ministering to you and speaking to you. Just sit right there at the feet of Jesus. Lord, we thank you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for these who have come and those who may not have come, but those who are just in need of a touch from you this morning. We are praying right now for a touch from heaven, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Some of us have tried everything, but it's time for us to just sit right there at the feet of Jesus. I'm not trying anything else. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm going to sit right here at his feet. And I'm going to listen to his words in the name of Jesus. Touch these who are here, Lord. These who are hurting, maybe are struggling in their walk with you. In the name of Jesus. Move in this place, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If he's ministering to your heart, just let him pour into you this morning. Let him pour into you. Lord, I'm going to sit right here at your feet. I just want to hear from you. I just want to hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Father. Thank you because your word says that even if we make our bed in hell, Father, you are there, Lord. Oh, Father, there is nowhere that we can go that you are not there. So, Father, we can always come boldly and sit at your feet, Lord. Father, we just say thank you for this word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for life. Thank you, Father, because you know exactly what we need to hear and when we need to hear it. Heavenly Father, we just say thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, because you are a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances, Lord. Nothing is too big for you, Father. Oh, Father, none of us have strayed so far, Lord, that we can't come back. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. Help us, Father, to sit at your feet. Help us to wait, Father. Thank you for being God, Lord. Help us to be patient, Lord. Help us to seek your face first. Help us to seek you first, Father. Help us not to just do the work, Father, but help us to be transformed daily, Father, by your presence, Lord. Amen. 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 Man, that was a really good word. Really good word. Yes. Once again, just want to say thank you guys for being out here for the two-day conference. If you haven't had a chance to give, there are several ways to do so, and that should be on the screen now. And also, we want to invite you guys to our Wednesday night Bible study. We're going through the book of Revelation. And once again, let's just give God a big hand clap for our brother, Torrence Nash. Amen, amen. Well, with that being said, you're blessed. Have a great week and see you guys on Wednesday.